Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today, I am excited to have Devin Burke with us. Devin is an international and TEDx speaker, the best-selling author of The Sleep Advantage, the founder of Sleep Science Academy, and one of the top health and sleep coaches in the world. His books, keynotes, programs, and videos have inspired thousands of people to improve their sleep, energy, and life. Devin helps high achievers and exhausted insomniacs get and stay asleep so that they can wake up with more peace, power, and presence. He was named one of the top 25 health coaches in America. He's also studied the innovative holistic coaching methods from some of the world's top health and human performance experts for over a decade. As a speaker and coach, he's inspired thousands of people to open their eyes to what is possible through creating new sleep, health, and performance habits and routines. Welcome, Devin. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Sorry for sort of such a long bio there.
All right.
I'm like, okay.
We've got to get it all in.
All right. Well, yeah. So, good to be here.
Yeah. So give us kind of a little overview. Why is sleep such an issue for so many people?
I mean, really, in a nutshell, it's stress. It comes down to stress. I mean, mental, emotional, physical stress. People are more stressed now than ever. So there's, as you can imagine, there's more people that are struggling with their sleep. It's, not only people were stressed before with families and with running businesses or careers or, you know, their finances, and then throw in a pandemic. Now you throw in a war. It's just insane. And then, you know, technology is a form of stress, and that's invaded the bedroom, you know, TVs, cell phones. And so in a nutshell, we could go deeper, but that's why people are struggling.
Yep. Totally makes sense. So before we get into all the, you know, specifics and whatnot, tell us why sleep is so foundational to our health. Why is it important?
Yeah. I mean, you said it, it's the foundation of health. So when you're not sleeping, your body's not repairing, your mind's not repairing. Essentially, every aspect of your life is affected from sleep. And people don't realize that if you're not sleeping, you're going to have a hard time losing weight or maintaining your weight, your cognitive performance. You're not going to be, you know, as sharp, your mental acuity is reduced, your ability to emotionally regulate is thrown off. Your hormones go all out of whack. So you're hungry like crazy, crave all the wrong foods. You don't know when you're full. So literally every aspect of our lives, even from our protecting from major diseases like cancer and diabetes, every aspect of our lives, from our health to our relationships to our careers, is affected when we don't get great sleep. So it really is, it's foundational for living a long, healthy life.
Sure. Yeah. So for somebody that's just got your kind of garden variety run of the mill, what are some of the very beginning things that you would recommend in order to help people fall asleep faster and rest deeper and wake more refreshed?
Yeah. I mean, it's, it really isn't a one size fits all, but a lot of times there's people are doing things that it's like, let's look at what to stop doing. Right. And unfortunately, the things that affect sleep are also the things that people love to do, like drink alcohol, like eat big meals right before they go to sleep, like drink caffeine too late into the day. All these things affect quality of sleep. And we could talk about specifically how, but it's, you know, so not doing those things, like not drinking caffeine past 1 p.m., you know, making sure that you have, if you are going to consume alcohol, making sure that it's earlier on in the day and you're staying hydrated. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you have a fasting window from the time you eat to the time that you're in bed. All these things impact quality of sleep. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, it's the amount of stress. People take their days into their nights. Mm-hmm. So there's really no boundary now, especially with most people working from home, from, you know, work and like everyday life. So it's creating a real issue for people. And so really drawing strong boundaries with work and non-work is critical if you want to improve the quality of your sleep, if you want to be able to fall asleep faster and rest deeper.
Yeah. So if somebody's trying to draw that boundary, what are some of the tips that you would give them?
Yeah, I would say just like you set an alarm to get up, which isn't really ideal if you don't have to, but setting an alarm to like wind down. It can be as simple as that, like having a boundary where it's like, hey, by 6 p.m., no more work. Like I'm not work, you know, shutting it down. I teach this thing called 3-2-1 sleep. Like 3 hours before bed, you stop eating. 2 hours before bed, no work. Oh. And then 1 hour before bed, no technology. And you start your bedtime routine or ritual, something that kind of prepares the mind and body. Real simple to remember, 3-2-1 sleep. But setting alarms, setting triggers, you know, we're creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. So breaking bad habits, like taking our days into our nights, takes, you know, a disruption. And so it could be an alarm on your phone. It could be a post-it note. It could be a lot of things. It could be taking your computer and powering it down, or your laptop and closing it and put it in the closet. I mean, people do all kinds of things. It's just important that you, number one, that you honor that boundary, because just because you have it doesn't mean that you're going to honor it. Right. So you have to understand how important this is. And that presupposes that you understand how important sleep is.
Yep. Yep. Definitely makes sense. And so you've alluded a couple of times to the correlation between sleep and stress. Why does one influence the other?
They're bidirectionally linked. So the more stress you experience, the less rest you experience. And then the less rest you experience, the more stress you experience. So unfortunately, it's a vicious paradox. So you're not, when you're not sleeping well, your body's going to be more stressed. When your body's more stressed, you don't sleep well. So on and on this goes. And then, like I said before, because sleep bleeds into all areas of our life, if we're not sleeping well, we're going to experience not only more physical stress, but more mental, emotional stress, because there's a lot of studies that show that we're not able to emotionally regulate. We misread emotion, which then leads to conflict, relational conflict, either with your partner or your coworkers, which creates more stress, right? So it's like this vicious cycle that happens. Yeah. And so people, you can't separate your day from your night from your day. So it's oftentimes people try to separate like sleep and then my day. It's like, you can't do that because of this exact thing.
Right. Gotcha. So what would be some tips that you would give for somebody that's struggling with chronic stress in order to try to make it so that the stress doesn't bleed over quite as much? What, like stress management techniques, or how do you go about that?
Yeah, at Sleep Science Academy, we teach mindfulness. You know, that's one of the, and the reason for is there's a lot of studies that show that it helps reduce stress, also helps people sleep. But really creating stress awareness, like what is creating stress in your life? First and foremost, a lot of times people don't even realize that they are choosing stress. So really doing an inventory first and foremost of what areas in my life are creating the most stress for me. And then taking responsibility and ownership for the ways in which you're allowing that to continue. That's sort of where we start with people. And then it's putting in place new ways of what we call mastering stress. It's not enough to manage it. You need to really master it. And most people manage their stress by using alcohol or distracting themselves, you know, or there's a lot of ways, shopping. Like a lot of people, we're not really taught to master our psychology or physiology. And so, you know, something as simple as breathing techniques, like taking the time to slow down and do some diaphragmatic breathing throughout the day. Don't wait till you're in bed to do this, although that would help too. Exercise is an incredible way of offsetting stress. Most people don't move their bodies enough. Making sure that you're eating, you know, good foods, and you're taking, you actually have space in your day. Like a lot of us, and I'm guilty of it sometimes as well, go back to back with meetings, with appointments. Yeah. I know, Lauren, we were talking about this, you know, it's
right.
And that's a form of stress. You know, when you're going from one thing to the next thing, there's not a break. There's not a time for your brain and body to reset. Yeah. It's even if you love what you do, it creates a form of tension that needs to be discharged.
Yep. Absolutely. Definitely makes sense. So, and what are some of the keys, would you say, to amazing sleep that you would recommend for everybody? What is it that we're actually looking for in terms of what restorative sleep looks like?
Yeah. I mean, so again, we're talking about quality of sleep. We're talking about delta deep sleep and REM sleep. When people say, okay, let's talk about quality of sleep. Delta deep sleep happens in the first quarter of the night. And every 90 minutes, we go through a full sleep cycle, but we're getting most of that body repair during the first quarter of the night. And then most of our REM sleep is happening in the fourth quarter of the night. So we want to make sure, and usually people cut that short, right? So first and foremost, you want to make sure that you're practicing good, you know, what we call good sleep hygiene. So limiting caffeine and alcohol and all the things that we mentioned. You have an environment that's supportive of sleep. Like your bed is a supportive mattress. It's your room is clean. It's dark. It's quiet, because environment absolutely impacts the quality of our sleep.
Sure.
Making sure physically you're taking care of your health. This is like such, it's, I mean, it's common sense, not common practice, but what's good for your health is also good for your sleep. So if you're eating the right foods, if you're moving your body, if you're doing things to manage your stress, of course, that's going to help you sleep better. And if you're sleeping better, it's going to be easier to implement all those things the next day. And really just understanding, I think it's important that people just take a step back and measure it, because you can't manage something that you don't measure. So, you know, we use the Oura Ring. It's a little device you wear on your finger. It's the most accurate. It's not 100% accurate. But really, just like you know, you get a blood test, you say, oh, I have high cholesterol or high cortisol or whatever it is, you know, and then you can make decisions based off that data. It's important if you want to improve the quality of your sleep that you're getting data or feedback and you understand how to interpret that feedback so you can continue to make progress and improve. So those are some of the secrets.
Yeah, great. So how does the Oura Ring compare to like a sleep study?
So it's not as accurate as a sleep study, but it's close. It's gotten a lot better over the years with their new technology. And, you know, and you're never really looking at one night. You're looking at several weeks or even months of data. So, you know, it's going to a sleep study. It's definitely, it's not quite there yet, but it has drastically improved over the years with their improvements. So, but really it doesn't even have to be an Oura Ring. It could be a sleep diary. You know, it could be a Apple Watch, a Fitbit, something that's going to give you some consistent data so that you can start to draw some correlation based off of the changes that you're either making or not making and how that's impacting your sleep.
Gotcha. Okay. And what advice would you have for somebody who lies awake dreading the fact that they won't fall asleep and then it actually perpetuates the problem? What do you say to people who struggle with that?
Well, a lot of people struggle with this, and it's not sexy what I'm about to say, but it's effective. So accepting, actually. So a lot of people try to force and control sleep. Sleep's not something that you can force or control.
Yeah,
for sure. Just like your heart beats, your lungs breathe, you can't force sleep. And trying to do so actually creates more frustration, which creates more of you staring at the ceiling, tossing and turning. So just accepting the fact that that's your experience. And this goes a lot deeper. But just having that in your mind, like, okay, I'm not going to fight this. I'm just going to accept that this is my experience. Sometimes creates enough space for your body to actually relax and initiate sleep again. But there's a lot more to what I just said there, but that's where I would start.
Gotcha. Okay, great. So, what have I not asked you that you feel is important to leave with our audience today?
That's a great question. I mean, I feel like we covered a lot of ground. I don't know. I don't know. There's no questions that come that pop into my mind right off,
okay,
off the bat here.
Missing. All right. Yeah. That's my catch all to make sure I didn't miss anything important.
No. Yeah. I think we covered some ground here in this quick conversation.
Sounds good. So where can people go to find out more about you?
So Sleep Science Academy, if you have issues with your sleep, and then all the social channels, it's Devin Burke Wellness.
Awesome. All right. Well, I will link to that in the show notes, and thank you again so much for your information and time.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren DeVille. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
Our world can feel chaotic and uncertain, but we don't have to live enslaved to fear. Christ has promised me and you his peace, and throughout Scripture has provided powerful tools and practical steps to help us experience greater freedom. I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, inviting you to join me and my team as together we learn how to starve our fears and feed our faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com or wherever you access podcast content.